Amen. Good to see you tonight. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Colossians for just a minute. We're going to look at a few things here in the book of Colossians and share with you some thoughts about, you know, this Christian process, this life. It is a process, isn't it? I mean, the whole thing is about, it's one day at a time, day after day, 1 month at a time, you know, month after month, 1 year at a time, year after year. That's what it's about, and it kind of ebbs and flows, and sometimes, you know, sometimes we're better at it than we are other times, and sometimes we're not as good at it as other times, you know. But we want to talk about, you know, and not to use the world's word, successful. I don't mean, you know, we're not looking for, you know, like successful entrepreneur Christians, but we're looking for people that are just successful Christians, just willing to be what God wants us to be. So turn to Colossians chapter number 2, and let's just, if you'll stand, we'll read just one verse or two verses of scripture in Colossians 2, verse 6 and verse 7. It says, "As you therefore have received," and as Paul's writing, he's saying that he's writing to believers here. When you understand, or when you read the Word of God correct, grammatically correct, "As you have therefore received," past tense, "Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." I'm fascinated by all the passages in the Scripture that talk about our walk, or walking with the Lord, or walk soberly and righteously. All those things, our locomotion, how we go about that, what that looks like, how we, how is there something that, is there a catch in the get along of the locomotion? And it can be in your Christian life too. It's just, it can be there if we're not careful. But he says, "As you therefore have received Jesus, Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Let's pray. Father, thanks again for the day that you've blessed us with. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be with these folks tonight. These are good people. This is a good church. Father, we ask that you lead it into this next year the way you want to. And Lord, help us to be willing to follow that. And we pray, Father, tonight that we'll look at our own life for just a minute and say, how's it going? Would I be considered on that path of becoming that mature believer that God wants me to? In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. And amen. The word "walk" in verse number 6 again, as I've already said, I'm fascinated by all those places, and I love in Ephesians how we're supposed to walk like those Ephesians and those kind of things. But and there's a lot of places. Walk is a very familiar New Testament term, and it's in a lot of different places all in the New Testament. And to walk in Christ is to live a life that's patterned after the one that He lived. And that's very simplistic, I know, but that's the truth. I mean, you know, we don't have to create this thing, but we just have to simply pattern the one that He had and walk in His steps. So it's kind of easier for us because we don't have to come up with everything to do. Walk in the way that He walked, walk in His steps, and do the things that He did. And so when you think about being a successful Christian, and I think everybody wants to have a whatever is considered a successful Christian life. I think everybody would say, you know, I didn't set out to follow Jesus and not be a successful Christian, not be a mature Christian, not get to the place where God wants me to be. Now, I know that some people start out, and we know that that's that seed stolen away, and you wonder about whether or not, and of course, they just never got what they were looking for, and they never, you know, they it never was real in their life, but I think everybody wants to be this born again, wants to be a Christian, wants to be a successful person and a Christian. And then there's just some very simplistic things that we can talk about for a minute to help us along the way about becoming a successful Christian. And one is to be faithful. And it's amazing, isn't it? Just faithful. It's just be faithful. Just be faithful to the things that you know to do. Just do the things that you know how to do, right? Just be faithful. Be a faithful Christian. Revelation 2:10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death," and God said He'd give us a crown of life. So faithful. This idea of being a successful Christian, there's this there's this process of being faithful. And, you know, we live in a world today that there's not a whole lot. I mean, we live in this generation where these millennials are not very faithful to anything. I'm trying to, you know, I've raised two, and I'm hoping that it works in their life. But some of them come and go, and you never see them again, and not a whole lot of faithfulness to a whole lot of anything today. Average person works umpteen different jobs in a lifetime now, and many of you, how many of you worked one place your whole career? I mean, when you got out of the military, you worked one place the rest of your life, Brother Jimmy? One, four places? Somebody else, one place? Two places? My wife, one place, only had one job her whole life. That was her daddy. Somebody at one place, somebody else, two places, 10 places, never worked. No, still looking for that first job. I don't know. No. But the average person, you know, in America today, the average person moves X amount of times over a lifetime. And we've talked about that on Wednesday night many different times. Some of you guys have lived in the same place, pretty much the same location, either most of your life or your entire life you've lived, or maybe you've moved once, or maybe you've moved twice or something like that. And when today it's a very common occurrence. So faithful, just be faithful. Faithful, firm in adherence to promise or in observance of duty, according to Webster. Firm in adherence to promises or in observation of duty. Faithful. Faithful believers, faithful Christians that are going to do the things that they say they're going to do, and they're going to attend. And you know, and I know churches have different service times, and they, you know, some churches have four morning services and no night, and some have this many midweek services than this and this. And, you know, and I know all that, and everybody can't be at everything all the time. But in a day where we're seeming to have less and less of things, people are getting even less and less faithful to certain things, and that's a little bit alarming. So many Christians are unsuccessful because they're not very faithful in just some of the small things. They falter in some of those things, and some Christians are slack in their responsibilities. And God says, if you want to be a successful Christian, sorry for the word, but if you want to be successful Christian, you want to be mature and be what God wants you to be faithful. And I know I'm preaching to the choir there a lot of times, especially if you're talking about on Sunday night. A successful Christian is trustworthy and they're dependable. And, you know, Miss Ruth and I were talking about that the other day. We were talking about the process of bylaws and those kind of things. And when you talk about putting people in places of teams and leadership and those kind of things, if you have Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and you're looking for criteria that people meet so they can serve, if you look at faithfulness, you know, sometimes the pool gets more shallow sometimes. If you say that faithfulness looks like Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or being involved in things, then sometimes your church is no different from others that still do that. The pool starts to get more and more shallow, and you go, wow. You know, we're saying that these are the criteria, or these are the requirements, but people are just not as faithful as they used to be. Maybe they don't, you know, and I understand, small children, we had them, and we understand, and we know those things, and it's tough out there. And when you're working 5 and 6 days a week, and then what we're asking from our people today, and even some of our younger people today, sometimes it's very, very hard when this is the day that they prepare for the week, and this is the day that they get all their ducks in a row, and this is the day that they, you know, so they're making choices, and I understand that. No judgment here, but be a hopeful Christian. For in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Hope is that desire accompanied by expectation or belief in the fulfillment of something, as according again to Webster and his definition of hope. But today's world is filled with hopelessness. I mean, in a world where there seems to be a absence of hope, I promise you this, the enemy has flooded those lives with hopelessness. Everywhere you turn, there is hopelessness. And even sometimes Christians fail to be hopeful in the things that God has promised. I don't know how many times I've met those people that have quit. They've laid their Bible down. They've laid their commitment down. They have walked away and that hopelessness has even invaded their life. You know, life is tragic sometimes, and life is hard sometimes. In life, you go through things that Dr. Tony Evans, do you know Dr. Evans that pastors in Dallas? He lost his wife about 10 days ago. Pastors a large church, African-American pastor, pastors a large church, and Dr. Evans I saw a comment that he made the other day, and he said, hey, just because life sends you things that in this world you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have troubles, you're going to have trials, you're going to have difficulties in this world, but he says, you know, it hasn't diminished his hope. It hasn't stopped his hope of one day he's going to see his wife again, and he's going to stay on the fire line. He's going to keep doing what he's supposed to do because, you know, in this world, you're going to have difficulties and troubles and trials, and just be hopeful that one day we're going to escape those things. And Christians know that as Christians, we know that our only hope is in Jesus Christ and Him alone, not anything else, not any other means of salvation, not any other means of getting through this life. You know, it's not about government. It's not about, you know, economy. It's not about any of those things. But our hope is built on Jesus Christ and His righteousness, right? We build upon that foundation of Christ alone. So, again, he says, rooted and built up in Him, talking about Jesus, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Again, to walk in that Christian life. And the word faith there in verse number 7, the idea here is the objective, referring to the truth of Christian doctrine. Walk in that truth and walk in that. And then spiritual maturity, that successfulness is rooted up and built up. That's what we keep saying on Sunday mornings right now. It's imperative that if you and I are going to be successful believers and followers of Jesus Christ, it will not come apart from God's Word. It will only come when you and I are committed to read and study and know God's Word. Amen? You know, I was reading this afternoon. I still have some to do before the day's over. You know, I get a phone call from my brother-in-law, and he's like, hey, Kelly's mom's moving into a house. And, hey, can you come help us move some furniture? I said, gee, thanks for the, you know, no, I'll be right there. You know, we had just walked in and just ate a bite and just changed clothes for the day. And I'm like, we're on our way. You know, we're on our way to help move furniture. That's so much fun, isn't it? So much fun. But, you know, glad to get to do that. But again, so I was reading my Bible this afternoon, and then some interruptions, so I'll go back to that. But again, if your successful Christian life, the maturity will not be separated from Christian doctrine. Spiritual maturity develops upward from the foundation of biblical truth. That's what I said this morning. There's, you know, things change, times change, truth never changes. Amen? So if we're going to be successful, if we're going to be people that are rooted up and built up foundation-wise, Kelly and I got friends that she works at the college. We went to a little reception Saturday for one of the basketball coaches that served at Snead from 1970 to 2004. He taught men's basketball, or Coach Kitchens. What a good guy, you know, what a good man. And they, and our state has passed a resolution to name the court at Plunkett Arena, to name the court after Coach Kitchens. And so went to the thing. Many of his past players were there, and it was a real sweet time, and it was a real good time, and we got ready to leave. The weather was, as you know, it was. There were supposed to be games, they canceled games and all that stuff, but they kind of got Coach Kitchens in there, and they shook his hand and gave him the thing and said, let's all go home now because the weather's supposed to be bad. But that's kind of how it went, or that's what it seemed like anyway. So they're going to bring him back at another game, and they're actually going to have him there at the court during the game and let him see the logo that's going to be on the court. But what a good guy that man is, and he served. And he said, you know, I worked at Snead and coached at Snead for 34 years, and he said, I never wanted to leave, never wanted to go anywhere else. That's a man that was faithful to his calling, isn't it? I mean, he worked one place for 34 years to coach baseball, basketball, men's and women's, and a man that spoke about him. It was just impressive what he had to say about Coach Kitchens and his faithfulness and his service to the community and the college. And I say all that to say that we got friends there, and they're building a house in Florida. And as we were leaving, I went up and I told her, I said, Kelly showed me pictures of the land that's being cleared and everything. And I said, I just want to know what I got to do to get on the list so we can borrow it sometime. And I thought I'd be the first to ask or something like that. We all laughed about that. And another person sitting at the table said, yeah, what do we have to do to get on the list to borrow that? But their house they're building in, where is that at? Port St. Joe. The pilings that they're building the house on, they told them this. They said, if you pour those on site, the pilings will have to sit for 3 to 4 months before you can build on them. But if we pour them off site somewhere, I don't know anything about that, why that's different. But if we pour them off site somewhere and bring them in and set them, then we can immediately start building on that foundation. I'm not sure what the difference is. Maybe you know what the difference is. Maybe it has something to do with the way the concrete is set or cured or whatever. But all of that has to be, the foundation has to be right, and it has to be set a certain way, and they're going to build up. And that's the same thing that Paul is saying to here in the Colossians, here to in this letter. He says, if you're going to be the successful believer, the mature believer, it starts from a biblical foundation of Christian truth and doctrine, and it builds up, right? And so our hope is built in Jesus Christ and our faithfulness. It makes a difference in our walk. And so to be successful, to be that successful, mature believer that God wants us to be, that one must hope in Christ, because He is the hope of eternal life. He's our everything. And then to be a loving Christian. Again, the scripture is very clear. Luke chapter 10, verse 27 says, thou shalt love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And I love that passage of scripture where neighbor doesn't mean your physical location, but the neighbor is anybody you're closest to at any given time. That's neighbor, according to the New Testament idea of the word neighbor. Not just the neighbor that lives across the street or next door or down the road, but anybody that you're closest to at any given time. And our world of hatred and terrorism and destruction, you know, it needs a lot of Christian love in it. Amen? It needs a lot of some hope, and it needs some believers that are mature and they're faithful. It needs us. This world, you know, God saved you and I not so that He could just sit us on the shelf, but He saved us to serve, and He saved us to be faithful, and He saved us so that we could demonstrate this hope that we have in a world of hopelessness and despair and depravity and everything else. Just a little bit of seeing some hope in my life and in your life, maybe it'll be something that causes somebody else who won't know about that same hope. And then to demonstrate the love of God, if we're going to be successful believers. And there's a lot of other things we could attach to being a mature, successful believer, but in our world of that hatred and terrorism and destruction, Christians need to manifest the love of God. For the love of God shall cover the multitude of sins. And love from one another covers a multitude of sins for one another, according to 1 Peter chapter 4. And it will influence others to, I believe, want to know what you have that's maybe different from what they have. Amen? People in this world don't always love each other. I mean, they can't even get along sometimes in the same, you know, over... I mean, it may not even be an issue that they're disagreeing about, but you let one of them get just the least bit sideways, and before you know it, I mean, there's a fight. There's a fight on your hand, and you got problems, and people just can't sometimes agree. But just a little bit of love, some Christian, you know, is a little. It'll influence others to want to know what's different about you and what's different about me. And some Christians live in strife and conflict. Isn't it amazing that? You know, I've seen those people. I've pastored those people. You know, it looked like they ate a sack full of briars before they came to church that morning. You know what I'm talking about? They ain't never happy about nothing. They ain't never been happy about nothing. Matter of fact, you couldn't make them happy about nothing if you tried. It doesn't matter what you do to try to make them happy about something. They are not going to be happy. That's just their lot in life. I'm just not happy. I'm just not a happy person. To be honest with you, I just don't have a whole lot of time for that. I think that rubs off on people. And I got to get away from that. Amen. I mean, I'm just ain't going to be happy. Well, bless God, you go be unhappy somewhere else. Amen. I want people to be happy. I know that not everything that happens in our life is good. Amen. Not everything that happens is good. But no matter what happens in our life, I can still be thankful, right? And I can still be blessed, and I can still be happy. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I know Jesus is on the throne, and I know that God's in control. But again, some of those people just will not be happy, and they live in strife and conflict. They fail in their quest to become loving Christians. You know, it's amazing to me how often even believers get just, they get sideways with each other. They get a little bit sideways, and they just cannot seem to get over that. And again, my mantra has always been, always will be, we ought to agree to disagree and still love each other. Amen? And we're not always going to agree on things. You're not always going to agree with everybody. There's only a small number here tonight, but I promise you, we wouldn't all agree on everything right here. But sometimes you just agree to disagree and go on about your business and love each other in spite of whatever you're disagreeing about. Some people just can't do that, though. They got to drag you down to the pit while they're going down too. They want to debate it and fight about it and everything else. And I just say, look, there's times that we're not going to agree about that, but let's just agree to disagree and love each other, and we'll be on. So we'll move on. To be successful, I think we has to be. It starts in us, and we need to be loving Christians. Again, it doesn't mean we compromise truth. I've heard it said many, many times over the years, you just love them, that's just the way they are. And I say to you, you know what? It's one thing just to be that way and be a little weird. It's okay to be a little weird. I'm a little weird. It's okay to be a little weird, a little strange. But it's not okay to be, a little weird and a little strange and be this cantankerous, sanctified obstructionalist. It's not okay to be that. It's not okay. And so truth, loving somebody in truth, as I said to someone not long ago, is that we love justice, seeks mercy, and try to walk humbly with our God, but still to love justice. And when we hold people accountable to the truth, then that's loving somebody. And it's not always pleasant, but loving people, not just agreeing with them to keep down the fuss. To be successful, we need to be loving Christians. Scripture admonishes us to be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 10. And to live peaceably with all men if possible, right? So the scripture is very clear about how we treat one another and how we act with one another and how we react with one another. And we're being kindly affectionate toward one another, walking in love, seeking His favor on our life so that we can represent Him well in this world, right? To be successful believers, rooted and built up and established. I love that word there, that word established. As we said, spiritual maturity develops upward from the foundation of biblical truth. And as this rooting, this building and establishing is in sound doctrine, good things. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. If we want to be successful, then we start at the foundation and we're built up. We're faithful to read God's word, faithful to be the people that God wants us to be. Where our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness, right? And that's our hope in this world, not anything else. And then when we decide to love one another, be kindly affectionate toward one another, I think those are very clear marks of maturity and successful Christian life. The Apostle Paul said, "And now by the faith, hope, and love, or charity, and these three, but the greatest of these is charity, is love." 1 Corinthians 13 and 13. So as you therefore, past tense, and that's assuming that everybody in the building is a believer. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. And so if you have received Christ Jesus, walk in Him. And that word walk again, to walk in Christ, to live a life patterned after His. I'm glad that I don't have to come up with that. I don't have to get up in the morning and go, well, I wonder what I got to do today for my walk to be good with God. And again, well, I'm going to be faithful. There are the things that I know to do, how I know to do them, I'm going to be faithful in that. And when given an opportunity to speak to somebody, I'm going to tell them about not the hope is built in Donald Trump or this economy or anything else, but my hope is built on Jesus Christ and His righteousness, His blood and His righteousness. And that's my hope. And that's your hope too, right? As I share that with somebody and as I'm a successful believer, walking, faithful, hopeful, and then in love. Amen? In love. Kindly affectionate to one another and walk in love. Those are very simplistic things, but again, starts with, and I love the phrasing that Paul says, because he says again in verse number 7, so walk in Him. And then he immediately says, rooted and built up in Him and established. Once, as our friends, they get the pylons or the whatever it is that they're doing there that build that house close to the beach so when the floods come or when the hurricanes come, it doesn't wash it away. I guess it doesn't wash it away. But when all of that is in place, it's built there, the foundation's good, then they immediately can start building up. And again, for you and I, you know, Jesus Christ is that. Let's walk in Him, be faithful, He being our hope, telling this world that He is our hope. And let's demonstrate the love of God to this lost, desperate world that Jesus saves. Amen. And He changes situations. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Romans 12 and verse number 10. You know, again, not compromising the truth. Things change. Truth never does. Established. Once you're rooted and built up, and then it's established. Eventually, our friends will have an address. It'll be established. Right now, it's a build site, and it'll have some foundation, and then there'll be some framing that takes place, and eventually it'll be finished, and then it'll be established there. It'll actually become a resident, and it'll be recorded with an address and a 911 address and all that. It's established, and I just say to you and I that if we're going to be mature believers and we're going to be what God wants us to be, it starts with us being faithful. Start with us building on that foundation. Sound good doctrine, truth, built up. Our hope is in Christ, not even the church. I mean, I love the church. I think, again, it's plan A with God. I love the church, and I still believe that the church is the answer for the ills of this world today. That if the believers of God's church would motivate or would be motivated and mobilize themselves, we can make such a difference in the world. If we'll walk that out and live that out before this lost world, demonstrating this hope that we have in Jesus Christ and that we show them the love of God. Again, we can't compromise truth to show love, but loving is not the absence of truth. Amen? I've said it for years, but if the bridge is out, if something were, you know, I was going over the bridge the other day, and the wind was incredibly strong, and I have got to the top of that thing a few times, and it feels like it's going to blow your car off into the water. You know, I mean, higher profile vehicle, it just wants to really shake it sometimes. I thought about some of you that live over this way. What happens if that bridge is out? I mean, there's no way to get to Gunnersville, right? There's no other way to get. I mean, there is, but you're miles and miles and miles out of the way to get back around. I understand that. But what if the bridge is out and you can't see the part that's broken? That's a long way down from the top, isn't it? Looks like to me it would be further than I'd want to jump or I'd want my car to fall. But what if somebody's standing in the road and they're going, the bridge is out, and you ignore that? What do you get then? That's a long way down to fall, isn't it? And splat is the... I mean, it's probably not pleasant. Absence of love would be to allow people to stand there and sell drinks and popcorn and watch people careen off that bridge to their death. But love would be to stand in the middle of the highway and say, the bridge is out. I don't look at Christianity any different than that. I look at it very simplistic like that. People are on the bridge between heaven and hell. And up there, if they don't make a decision for Jesus and have that hope, the bridges out. You and I are to be kindly affectionate to one another and demonstrate the love of God to this lost, hate-filled, terroristic world that we live in today. Those are marks of maturity in believer and successful Christian. They're willing, they're faithful. My goodness gracious, so faithful. Some of you, you're so committed to the work of this church and committed to the services of this church and so committed to giving to this church. And it's, let me just applaud you in that. And I know where your hope is built. Let's keep demonstrating the love of Jesus Christ to one another and to this world. And I think there's something powerful in that. Amen. Rooted, built up, established, as Paul says. So walk in Christ. Let's pray together tonight. It's so good to see you. I hope that you have a great, great week. I know that it's already January the 12th, isn't it? I mean, it's amazing that the midweek this week will be mid of the month already. And it just seems, a friend of mine, we were talking the other day, and I said, why does it seem like time? It's just, yeah, I remember as a kid, that Christmas, it seemed like it took 4 years to come around. And now it seems like it only takes about 4 days for a month to go by. And they said, well, that's just because you're getting old. And I was like, well, I don't think that's the case. But I am a little older. I am just a little bit older. But wow, it just seems crazy, doesn't it? Time just seems to be flying by. And I don't know what time we have. I don't know how much longer we have. But whatever that is, my desire is to be that successful believer, that mature believer that God wants me to be. So it starts with me. I've received Jesus, so now I'm rooted in Him. Need to build up, read His Word, study His Word, have solid good doctrine, established in Him, understanding where my hope comes from, and then called to demonstrate the love of God to this world. That's a successful believer. And I think that's worth, I promise you, that's worth so much today in a day when so few seem to be very committed to a whole lot else. I mean, I know work takes people away. I know life takes people away. And I know that. I there's no judgment here. I'm just saying, in whatever time we have or whatever we do, be faithful with what you got, right? Do what you can where you are with what you got, someone said. Don't know who to give credit to for that. But walk in Christ, built up, rooted, built up, established in the way that He wants us to go. Those are marks of becoming mature, successful believers. Let's pray together tonight. Father, we're so thankful for this day that You have given us. Thankful for the opportunity to worship together this morning. Lord, I've thought and I've hummed that song this afternoon, and I've thought a lot about, and I really wanted to talk about that river that flows from within. And Lord, what a blessing that was today. I don't know where that trio's been hiding, but what a blessing that was to me today, and the worship time that we had. And Father, being able to stand and preach today. Thank You for all the number of visitors that we had today. There's several here in attendance today. We pray that they'll come back and be with us another time. Thank You again for those, Lord, that are so faithful in their walk and what they do. Father, I thank You, Lord, for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And I thank You, Lord, that when we as believers demonstrate we demonstrate that kind affection toward one another, that affects others around us. When we drag each other down and destroy one another, that also affects others around us, but it's nothing positive then. So help us to be mature believers, walking in Christ, rooted, built up, established in Him, Lord, for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.